We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For the guys, Ken and Curtis, The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
So you bring up the Cam Newton situation, so you know it's good for your argument, it's good for your narrative, because you know you're going to get a lot of people say, ah, Cam stinks. He said, I'm not talking about Cam Newton. I'm looking at this season and what I expected this offense to be, mm-hmm. passing game-wise. And when I look at this offense, you have talent. But you have a quarterback, and if you want to say it's because he's a rookie, who's not pushing the ball downfield because he doesn't have the confidence yet to maybe make those throws. The one throw he pushed downfield against the Jets last week, what almost happened? He threw it into double coverage.
Wiggy has not been impressed by Mac so far. Have you been? One thing Michael Lombardi brought up yesterday on MF's Curtis was the drop by Jonnu Smith early in the game. Third and 14, little crossing pass right through his hands. I mean, the ball floated a little bit, but they had to settle for a field goal there. Technically, it wasn't a red zone trip, but, you know, that's 7-0 versus 3-0 to start the game. He's had a couple guys let him down. Most to gain this weekend, that's my pick. Jonnu Smith. I thought he would be dominant through 2 weeks. He and Hunter Henry just like, okay. Little flashes, nothing special. If they beat the Saints tomorrow, they have to move it against a pretty good Saints defense that's allowed, like, mostly short stuff. Tight end explosion tomorrow. That's what I'm looking for.
I go coaching McDaniels most to gain. The red zone's been a disaster. We talked about it at length earlier, going back a couple years. If he can get Mac, design some plays to get Mac the ball into the end zone, I think that that would be the most to gain. I think most to lose is just Belichick slash Kraft.
It's Bill. Totally agree with you on that. Because I mean, if they lose this game, now you're 1-2. You're 1-2 coming off a terrible loss, two losses at home, with Brady coming in and obviously the whole narrative and everything that's going to be brought up that week. And even though they may have found the quarterback, it just looks like they're floundering. Like the season is lost before you even played Tom.
Plus, there was some stat when Brady was here. Home games against the NFC, I think they were like 50-1. In the regular season, obviously wouldn't be in the playoffs against the NFC. Some staggering stat somebody will text in. And one other quick stat, I just saw this looking up Brady as I do. Three touchdown passes, so if he throws three touchdowns, no picks tomorrow, he will have 400 more touchdowns than interceptions in his regular season career. 400.
They're only a 1-point favorite. But Lombardi, by the way, picking the Rams to win that game.
If I were betting, I'm not. I would bet on the Rams.
But this may be their last best chance to get beat. Otherwise, you're talking 17-0 possibility.
I mean, they are distracted. Brady's been, you know, inundating his dad and Alex and all in on the Patriots stuff. I mean, if there was ever a time.
But how devious is that, too? How dirty is Bill, is Brady this week?
Bill has been very dirty. No, he's been punished.
Brady is putting the henchmen to work. He puts out the picture to start the week. He and Arians, arm in arm. I've got your back. You got mine. Then you got the little Belichick comment with us in the morning. And he and Jim Gray is, you know, yucking it up for him on that podcast. Then Brady Sr. calls up Tommy Curran and says, I got something to get off my chest.
Wait, so you're missing Belichick's comments.
Damn right. I said Belichick.
Okay.
The little Belichick thing, which was just nothing. It was like total nothing burger. Praise. And then Guerrero calls up to, like, add salt to the wound. It is amazing. Incredible. And all this week, why? Because they're trying to get Bill 1-2 distracted. They wanted to ramp up the rhetoric this week.
That doesn't make... Oh, Spieth, you suck. It doesn't make
any
sense.
Because they know next week everybody's got to be on their best behavior.
No.
But this week they can slide it in.
The Bucks want the Saints
like White
to
Snake.
Lose. They're in their division. Why would they be rooting for their division rival to beat the Patriots?
They don't care about the Saints. The Saints are not going to be a contender.
Okay. They went 2-0 against the Patriots.
Carolina,
the Bucks last
year. Maybe Carolina gives them a game, maybe. But, I mean, even that, Sam Darnold, we know that's not going to happen. Danny is on the phone lines. Hello, Danny.
Yes. Well, I might as well start off the call by agreeing with Curtis on something, okay? And Josh McDaniels does not take enough blame in this town. That first and goal from the 1-yard line against Tennessee a few couple of years ago, you were talking about that
awful,
game?
Awful.
Okay. How, you come out with, what, 2 running plays, and you call a freaking timeout, and you come back with the same freaking running play, and they lose a yard? You should have been fired, okay? You should have been fired. I can't stand Josh McDaniels. He has no imagination. He used to draw up plays. Remember the direct snaps to Kevin Falk when Brady used to fake like it went over his head,
yep.
Right?
They remember did that with plays? White as well, yeah.
Yeah, no play-action rollouts at all. When you're bunched up down to the 1-yard line, you can fake the handoff and release a tight end into the – offensive line eligibles. Ever. I've never seen an offensive lineman catch. Vrabel used to catch passes all the time. He sucks in the red zone, in the 5 yards, within the 5-yard line. He sucks.
And one other thing, Danny, while we agree, because it's a very nice moment, and I think New England is happy, when the McDaniels' desire to do these tosses and lateral designed offensive plays, when the Patriots are very rarely faster than their opponents, like that the Titans game in the wild card. They were running Edelman across the formation and handing it off to him, and the Tennessee secondary was 10 times faster than Edelman, and they stopped him every time. I don't understand that and the pitch plays they did last week against the Jets that failed every time.
And he gets hero worship for those plays.
It is.
He gets
amazing.
Hero worship. Oh, look at Josh. Oh, look at the imagination. Oh, you talk about – and the other tool bag, Matt Patricia. Oh. I'll never forgive Belichick for bringing that tool bag back. As long as he is on the team, okay, they will have no interest in rushing the quarterback like Brian Flores did in 18. Okay, so there's our agreement, Curtis. Okay,
I like this. We'll continue the agreement. Doesn't that though make you question Bill? Like, why is he surrounding himself with these boobs?
I don't know. He's got the word blind spot is overused, but I'll say he's got a blind spot.
It's hard to miss Patricia.
He definitely has a blind spot.
That is a massive blind spot. I mean, the guy's like 500 pounds.
And again, I'll agree with you on the kids. I mean, how old are his kids on Steve Belichick? How old is he? How can a veteran player take orders from him?
Gerard Mayo is working with Steven Belichick. I mean, how do you think he feels about that?
How do you do that?
Separate question, Danny. Come on.
I'll be happy with that. I think he's potentially a good defensive-minded guy.
Enough of this. How low class was Brady? How low class was Brady this week?
All right. What was that?
How low class was Brady this week?
Well, I mean, look at this, and this is where Curtis is going to hate me, but this goes back to Tom Jackson. They hate their coach. Trent Dilfer and Steve Young. Remember going on that rant when they traded Logan Mankins? Brady was doing this a long time ago. Long, long time ago. And Tom Brady grew his hair long. That was a protest for losing his buddy, Logan Mankins. And he started to realize that the longer he stayed on the team, the same team, for as long as he was staying, he was going to lose players. He was going to lose players. I think longevity is really the biggest enemy of both Belichick and Brady, because the longer you stay together, the more you're going to grow apart. And that's the way it turned. But this goes back to Amendola, Gronkowski. When Brady went to Tampa, Gronkowski. And by the way, can we please just throw in that who directed Gronkowski to Tampa Bay? Who was it? Who masterminded that trade?
TB12.
It was Belichick.
Well, he approved it.
Oh, he didn't have to, though. Ken, yeah. He didn't have to approve the trade to Tampa Bay. He could have said, "Hey, I'm sending him anywhere but Tampa Bay to be in line with Tom Brady."
That was a mistake. He tried to take the high road.
No, wait a minute. I thought it. Why can't you just say it was a gracious move?
Yeah, he tried to be gracious, and then he got thrown back in his face.
Okay, but that's not Belichick's fault.
No, I didn't say it was.
Oh, okay. I mean, but you seem to think that it was a mistake. I mean, I had
hindsight.
No problem. I mean, it doesn't get publicized enough, you know. And okay, and then Curtis, the other thing is you keep saying the Super Bowl against the Rams was a win before the game started. They only scored 13 points, Curtis. I don't know what your reaction was watching that game, but But the longer that game went, where the offense could not, they were stuck in quicksand. Meanwhile, and the defense had to only give up 3 points in that game, which was a necessity to win that game. And it's like that Super Bowl doesn't even exist in a lot of the Brady sycophants' minds, because it just, they don't want to count it. For some reason, it never gets brought up because they want it on defense, special teams, running.
Well, because Danny, we've been over this 1,000 times.
Yeah, I know.
But,
I know.
I mean, we know how they got there. We don't have to go up and down and say that over. I mean, that was a great, and the reason why I said it was what, that was me complimenting Bill. McVay is a offensive guy. Bill is one of the great defensive coaches in NFL history. And before the game, you have Sean McVay being like Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live, just saying, it's awesome. This is so cool. And they had no offensive output whatsoever.
That, again, is Brady, just everything going right for the guy. Because if they had played the Saints, any doubt, New Orleans gives them a tougher game, and everybody thought that was going to be the case. Saints have the home game. The Roby Coleman, the non-interference call, whatever. The Saints had that game won. It was going to be Breeze and Brady. Instead, he gets Sean McVay, who peed down his leg again. Unbelievable.
All right, there is one stat that I have had for about 6 months since the conclusion of Super Bowl 55 that is damning on Brady, and I was waiting for Ken to come up with this on his own with his Brady hatred.
Oh.
But I am ready to release,
I don't hate Brady,
this stat. In the history of the NFL, there have been 3 occasions where a team has faced another team that did not score a touchdown to win a Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. So, 3 occasions in which a team that wins a Super Bowl beat an opposing team that did not score a touchdown.
Okay. So that's obviously one.
That's one.
The Rams game.
Super Bowl 55. The Kansas City Chiefs did not score a touchdown.
Super Bowl 55.
Bucks, Chiefs. Mahomes did not score a touchdown.
Wow.
So Tom Brady, 2 of his 7 Super Bowl championships,
31-9 final last year,
came in games where his opposing team did not find the end zone.
That's amazing. But yet you refuse to give any credit to the Bucs defense for that performance.
What?
Shutting down Mahomes.
You never
praised the Bucs D.
I said that game was unbelievable. Mahomes' 2 worst games as a player have been, yeah, in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, not a good look for him.
Not a good look at all.
So Brady has been the beneficiary of great defense, and to have 2 of those 3 games in the history of the sport have been in games that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl.
By the way, quick nugget from your NFL, Steelers linebacker T.J. Watt out tomorrow against the Bengals. So the Steelers had a big win week 1. I got a feeling that things are heading south quick for that franchise. Roethlisberger's like questionable. They have no Deontay Johnson. So they're done skiing. That's good news for the Patriots.
But when people want to maybe poo-poo Tom at some point, the last 2 Super Bowls he won in games where the opposing team didn't score a touchdown.
By the way, a lot of static now from Dave on Twitter. You promised him no Danny from Quincy.
Oh, God. Well, that's your call. I'm not in charge of
anything.
I didn't
know it was Danny from Quincy. I just went to Danny.
Yeah.
And turned out to be him.
I mean, accountability is not your greatest quality.
Well, you promised it. I didn't say no. I said he had to get it seconded. I don't think he did.
I literally have less control here than Lauro.
You can take the calls. You want to start taking the calls?
I'm fine where I am. I love our show. I like working with you, Kenny. Don't get all butthurt.
617-779-7937. By the way, if Danny hates McDaniels, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. McDaniels is going to be your coach when Bill is done. Is there any doubt to you of that?
I am. So I have equal concerns on both sides of this rivalry. I fear deeply that at some point, Guerrero is going to cause gigantic shame upon the brand of Tom Brady. I am
Guerrero.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like more concussion water,
like
type stuff?
Something down the line. If you do that once, if you try and hawk something that you're lying that says you can cure cancer and people die, like, I'm sorry, you can do anything. So that concerns me on the Brady side. But Bill and the way in which he's going to organize and establish the succession plan in Foxborough, it could get ugly, because if the Patriots look ugly, lose the next 2 games, which could happen, and you have the fan base seeing Brady down there, there's going to be a point of no return where Kraft and his family is going to have to say, all right, Bill, like, this didn't work out. But as of now, he has complete and total authority with the Patriots organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he has brought back Matt Patricia.
Yep.
He has Michael Lombardi's son, Mick, his 2 sons, and McDaniels as sort of his, like, cocoon of safety in Boston. And it's
cocoon of safety.
I have no faith in any of those people to take over the franchise. Josh McDaniels, everywhere he's been, we can do the Belichick, you know, without Brady thing all day. Look up the offensive outputs of the Rams and the Broncos and the Patriots without Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels' offense. They are some of the worst offenses in the league. 30th, 31st, 32nd.
But as far as a head coach, it's only Denver, and it's only 2 years, and we're talking 11 years ago. So doesn't he deserve a second crack? I mean, as to be a head coach, forget about his offenses. When you're a head coach, you got to manage the whole team. They'll have somebody in that's an offensive guy.
But in Denver, he was a dumpster fire with the media. He had like
I agree.
He
no
was
doubt.
Despised in that locker room.
There's
like
no
it was
doubt.
It failed on every level.
Yes, it did.
And he took Tim Tebow in the first round.
He beat the Steelers.
I mean,
there's no doubting that. But even McDaniels would probably say it was a mess, right? He was a disaster.
Of course, but do you think the Colts regret not signing him? I mean, it looks like they got the right guy in Reich. I mean, I don't think outside of Foxborough he's going to get an opportunity to be the head coach again in the NFL.
Maybe not, but he deserves one chance here, a couple years.
He'd
be on a short leash. He's been here how long has the second tenure been here? He's been here for now 11 straight years. Who better to give the reins to for continuity's sake? That's important in the NFL. I mean, you see these teams that jump from coach to coach.
Oh, you mean
what
because
a disaster
I guess that's
are.
True. You know what? That makes perfect sense. Why has McDaniels been such a proponent of Mac Jones?
Right.
Because as long as he's got Mac in this offense, the Patriots are not going to want to change systems and do what the Jets do to all their guys. That's
absolutely
a good point.
And that's what Kraft's thinking. He's thinking to the next level.
And you don't think he would work for anybody else?
Who?
Josh McDaniels.
I think you're right. It would be hard to find a team to...
No, I'm sorry. Do you think that he would be the offensive coordinator for someone other than Bill Belichick?
Yeah, boy. Well, it depends who that is. It would have to be somebody pretty impressive. I don't know who that would be.
It is amazing how little we know about Belichick, his situation, how many years he has left, what's going on. I mean, because he's already almost past where he said he would coach. He's 69, correct?
69.
So he's turning 70, which he said he wouldn't coach past, but he's cleared that up with OMF last year that he was not. He basically said that was inaccurate, that he'll keep coaching.
He did? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, they asked him about it, and he said something along the line. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said, you know, I've changed, or that no longer remains the case, I believe. So I don't know what's going on in that, but I do believe that it's got to be something that people are wondering, like, what are they going to do?
But he needs 5 years to pass Shula. 5 years. So we're talking, they have plenty of time. A lot can change in 5 years if he does stick around that long, which I think he will. I mean, he needs 5 solid years.
But,
and if Mac's good, he'll be more likely to stick around.
But who's, I guess, if I'd ask the audience, where is your faith in Bill Belichick today? Is it the same as it's been? You know, I trusted him. He's got his quarterback. The team looks like it's turning a corner.
Well, that's why tomorrow's a big game, and he has the most to lose. If he's 2-1, and okay, Brady beats him,
you still have
the Texans, and you're still in a decent spot.
Totally. You know? You're 3-2 after 5 weeks.
Yep.
Worst case.
And then after what's Dallas after that? But then there's a couple winnable games to follow.
Tomorrow. So, well, the other thing is that you have no idea what the Saints really are. They played two totally different games.
Oh, they stink, Curtis. Their offense, can you name one skill position guy
besides Alvin Kamara? I mean, I think that he's a great guy. He basically plays running back and wide receiver, so he's got two of those roles. But this is we all agree Sean Payton, a good coach. I mean.
But that's it. Like, unfortunately for them, Sean Payton can't play in the game.
I am shocked.
And the second best coach in the league still? Do people like is that accepted?
Is that the John Harbaugh?
Yeah, yes. But there's nobody else that's even close. Peyton has 143 wins. Belichick has 281 in the regular season. 281 to 143. That's like the second best guy.
Shouldn't Andy Reid be close?
I guess
yeah,
Andy Reid.
But he's a bad person.
I know you hate him, but he's still a good coach.
He's another guy. What did he win without Mahomes? Nothing. He had the worst time management of any coach when he was with the Eagles. Holy cow.
Well, Sean Payton will be an interesting study in this, too. So now Payton, he's 57. He no longer has Drew Brees. They probably should have won more than the one, but they didn't. They were at least good and in contention and winning double-digit games every year.
And in hindsight, I think that Saints team, if they hadn't gotten screwed over by that call in the NFC Championship with the Rams and the Saints,
I think
that they could have probably beaten the Patriots if they played like that in the Super Bowl.
I just said that. Didn't I just say that 5 minutes ago? God, do you listen to me?
I don't.
That was a great point I made. But they're, to answer my own question, Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Ty Montgomery, and Chris Hogan are your receivers.
Chris Hogan's making a return? What are
yes.
they, video tribute?
That's the Raja. That's the Dino Raja.
Oh, man. If they do something for Chris Hogan but not Brady, that would be hilarious.
Honestly, their best chance to win is Taysom Hill tomorrow. Right? I mean, to do something with Taysom Hill.
So you totally believe that week one was an anomaly for Jameis Winston?
Yes, totally not. I mean, yeah, what he has 5 touchdown passes on the year. But last week they were shut out at the half. They couldn't move the ball at all. And Kamara has done basically nothing all year.
I mean,
a couple catches.
The Patriots are favored by 3 points, so Vegas agrees with you.
I take Patriots big.
Big?
Big tomorrow.
Also, was Jameis really that good? He was 14 for 20 for 148 yards, and they were getting short fields all over the place because Rodgers just threw up the ball.
Well, how many touchdowns versus interceptions?
On the year, I think it's
5-0, but they're starting out at 10.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, Jameis Winston could screw up anything.
Great, he had a great week one. Yeah, Winston played once against Belichick 2017. 46 passes, no picks in that game. 2 sacks. Patriots won 19-14. So he's faced Bill once and was okay. Done okay in that game.
I believe Nick Folk missed like 3 kicks that game, actually. That was Thursday Night Football.
Kamara last week had 5 carries for 8 yards. God.
So he's rested, ready to go. I mean, listen, I said yesterday that the Pats are going to blow them out. I don't know what I'm talking about either way. I think Mac Jones, this is an opportunity for him and this offense. And, you know, I think that they must understand the magnitude of the game regarding their season and what looms the week after. And Bill generally comes up big in those moments with game plans and things that are ready to go. But they're playing a team, you know, this. If you're the Saints, this is also a similar swing game, I'm sure, that they're looking at, that they need to win this in order to have any semblance of a shot this year in their division.
All right, first 2 weeks of the season, in regards to the Brady narrative, how has it changed your opinion one way or the other? We discuss next. Dante Scarnecchia at 12 noon. And during trending, the Bruins have trotted out the new first power play.
Oh.
So stick around for that.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, we know how important this game is tonight. You know, we know where we stand in the play, or in the hunt for the wild card and everything, and for the playoffs. You know, and to be able to come in tonight, you know, I got to be able to set the tone, especially the first game of the series, and I didn't do that tonight. And you know, it's extremely frustrating for me. And you know, yeah, it's just frustrating.
That's Eovaldi, Nathan Eovaldi for your Boston Red Sox. It's Ken Curtis here. Ken Laird here.
Chris Curtis here.
Chris Curtis over there. A little bit about, I want to get back into Brady here in a second. Shocker for us. But quickly now, Eovaldi yesterday, just terrible from the get-go. 4 hits, 3 runs in the first, 4 more runs in the third. Didn't record a swing and a miss, Curtis, until his 36th pitch of the game.
Yikes.
Now, he had been dominant against the Yankees. Last 4 years since that trade, 2 runs or fewer in 9 of 10 starts against them, 2.30 ERA. 4 starts against the Yankees at Fenway in that span, posted a 1.07 ERA, those nuggets from Jen McCaffrey and The Athletic. Now, he pitches terrible yesterday. He is lined up to start the wild card game or the tiebreaker game. He's going to pitch once more, Eovaldi, Wednesday in Baltimore. So then he'll be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you'll be available for a Monday tiebreaker game or the Tuesday wild card game. But you cannot start him against the Yankees, right? I mean, after that performance?
No. And so there's a potential that there is a play-in for the wild card game on Monday and then the wild card game's on Tuesday.
Right.
Day or night?
I don't think that's been determined. I mean, the wild card game will be a night. Tiebreaker could be an afternoon game, I guess. Why? What does that matter?
I would think the wild card should be like an afternoon thing. Old school.
Why would you want that? So stupid. But anyway.
How is it stupid? Did it work in 78?
Okay. There's television now that matters.
Oh, there wasn't
prime
television.
Time. Yeah. It didn't exist until 82.
Well, if you look at Major League Baseball ratings nationally, I'd be shocked if they knew they were on TV.
You want to go to the ratings? Because Reamer had a little nugget about the ratings this week in baseball, and they are sky high for your Red Sox, despite your narrative that nobody cares. People care. But back to my point.
What's the rating?
Back to my point. Chris Sale. You've got a situation now with Sale. Sale's got to start the wild card game. But he's lined up to pitch Tuesday. Okay, so fine. He pitches in Baltimore Tuesday. And then he's lined up to pitch again on Sunday against the Nationals. And if you need that game, you are screwed. Because if you pitch Sale, then he's unavailable not only for the wild tiebreaker or the wild card. He'd have to go on short rest in the divisional series.
What I would do, and I'm not being facetious here or anything, I would do whatever I could to win the next two games, tonight and tomorrow, or this afternoon and tomorrow night.
Well, what does that mean? I mean,
because then you can, the more
so
you
bring, bring in Hauk early, bring in like Whitlock.
Just play it like your house is on fire, because the earlier you get these games and you get into the playoffs, then the longer you have to prepare for the game. And the more that they allow this to drag on and allow teams to remain biting at their heels, one game out, two games out, even whatever,
yeah, yeah.
You need to win these games. If I were Cora, I would manage them like these were playoff games.
Well, yeah. Well, to his credit, yesterday they didn't have to pitch Ottavino. They didn't have to pitch Garrett Richards, which is shocking we're saying that right now, but he's right. been pretty good out of the bullpen.
Ottavino, every time he comes in, I think they're going to lose.
Yeah, well. He's been okay.
Another Northeastern stiff.
But Sawamura, Barnes, Perez yesterday saved the rest of the bullpen. So that was the one thing to salvage from the game. But you're right. They need a win. I mean, they don't technically need a win. They can get in. But in terms of you have to blow all your bullets and sail twice, including Sunday and on Brady Day, if Chris Sale is taking the mound to beat the Washington Nationals to get in, that
and
is a
cornhole.
Disaster. Yeah, and cornhole.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to be like, I'm not making light of it. I just think that the sooner you take care of your own business and win these games and don't allow these teams to be, you know, at your heels,
mm-hmm.
and the more time you have to prepare for that one game, because we agree they're going to need everything in their side. They don't have a team that is just going to get on the field and beat you. They need to have certain things go right, and the more things they can prepare for
yeah.
in advance of that one game wild card game, the better they'll be.
And I am now terrified of the Yankees for the Sam Kennedy quote. It's just like a jinx of the year, just the jinx of the season. They're 3-10 against us. They needed to make a trade. That is still that's hovering over everything. They got too cocky.
Well, the Yankees season may be one of the most bizarre seasons I can remember
right.
because you have the Orioles, who even for the Orioles are historically bad.
45 wins right now.
But I believe 8 of their 45 wins have come against the Yankees.
I think that's true, yeah.
Like, so if the Yankees had just been like everybody else against the Orioles, they're running away with the division right now. I mean, with the wild card.
Or if they just weren't terrible in the first half.
Right, they might be, you know, even or close to the Rays.
No, it's so true. And now, so the Yankees have the Blue Jays this week in Toronto for 3. Tough games, too. Cole and Barrios go against each other Wednesday. Then they finish with Tampa, who might have everything locked up by then. I don't know how that's going
to
go.
But now with the Mariners are back in.
Mariners back in.
The Blue Jays lost again to the Twins yesterday.
Yeah, so Toronto has 2 more with Minnesota, but they have their best pitchers on the mound. Then they get the Yankees. Then they finish with Baltimore. That's the other problem. Toronto gets Baltimore to finish the year. So they're going to win at least 3 more. Seattle has 5 with the Angels and 3 with the A's. So those are the schedules the rest of the way.
They had to be active because I think they're 3-10 against us, Greg.
Oh, jeez.
So 2 for the Red Sox, 2 Yankees, 3 Nats, 3 Orioles.
Yeah. Orioles first, then Nats to finish it out next week. Big week. Big week in Boston sports. Interesting. Everything can turn for the Red Sox. Tomorrow, huge in terms of the Saints. Brady has already fired the first shots. He had, what, 4 or 5 henchmen working for him this week?
To Brady's defense, I believe the shots were fired in a book that he has seen before us, which is what he was reacting to.
Which is the Wickersham book.
Correct.
God, we need Wickersham to leak something good this week.
And I can't believe...
Give us some good Brady stuff.
Albert Breer is a great guy. I like him. Known him a long time. Gave him his first opportunity in radio with Damon Amendolara.
You did?
Yeah. And
I'm sure he credits you.
He does. I mean, it's byline. But he is the biggest gossip in the history of gossip in sports. And he's had this book, and he hasn't spilled the beans yet at all about what's in it, what's going on.
Well, text him right now. Give me something good.
All right.
Is there something good in this Wickersham book?
He just sent me a decapitated Bill Belichick.
Wickersham never says much on the radio in terms... He always keeps it for the book, right? Because that story that ran, that was on ESPN,
yeah,
the collision course, that's a monster. That was huge.
Of course, that was the... I mean, we did that for 2 years.
He alleged he was having breakfast at 5 a.m. in Foxborough with, like, secret sources.
That's true.
So I'm sure he took that reporting and double down for this book to finish it off. So there's good stuff in here. There's got to be Brady hit pieces in this book.
I genuinely believe that outside of all the fun we're going to have with the cattiness between Bill and Tom and how their sides are defending and formulating their own legacies and, you know, taking, you know, shots at the other, we are going to have a sense of true astonishment at what these two men were able to accomplish together for nearly 20 years after we understand just how much they despised one another for that last period. Because it is remarkable to think that Super Bowl 52, you have Brady walking off the field after having 500 yards, four touchdowns, the fumble in the final moments of the game,
mm-hmm.
and you have him, according to sources, saying, I'm effing done with him. And then the next year, when nobody wins Super Bowls after losing the last one,
mm-hmm.
it is incredibly rare for that team. I believe there's only been one or two teams that have even made the playoffs recently after losing the Super Bowl the year before. Look at what happened to the 49ers last year. I mean, you just go up and down. People struggle immensely for whatever reason.
There had to have been, wouldn't both sides of this agree, whether you're a Belichick fan or a Brady fan, a blow-up or two between those guys inside Gillette. At some point, Brady, like, lashed out about Guerrero.
I think that's why it was such an issue, because Tom is so passive-aggressive and because Bill is so uniquely douchey and confident and whatever. He's just a very unique personality.
It was beneath the surface.
Because I think if they had one of those, usually after that, you sort of find some agreement and common ground. You get all the bad stuff out, and then ordinarily you'll usually find a way to get together and work again.
But as we heard from Ty Law, like, there was an issue with Ty at some point with Bill, where Ty said, I'm Ty, MF and Law, pay me my money to Kraft, whatever. That's the story the Kraft tells.
Ty said to the Boston Globe that Bill Belichick lies to feed his family.
Right, so there's stuff. There was a confrontation between those guys. There had to have been something between Brady,
right,
over the trainer situation, at least over that.
Well, I believe what Tom versus Time was a 8-part series that was somewhat of a middle finger to Bill. He didn't want it done. They made it clear that we all knew that he was getting his training work done in the suite at the stadium, not in the training room.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was that whole thing was in and around. But that year, the filming of that led us to Super Bowl 52, where they are one defensive stop away from winning back-to-back Super Bowls, 3 out of 4.
And then, of course, there have been examples of Bill being vindictive, obviously, if you believe what happened in the Malcolm Butler situation.
Or with Gronk, trading him to Detroit.
And, you know, the trading of Garoppolo.
Right.
So some of this stuff's got to be in that book.
Oh, of course.
But I don't know if he's going to be able to get enough guys on the record to speak now before their careers are over. Maybe the bigger reveals will be 10 years from now.
I
hope so.
I really believe that it's, according to the people that have read it and the people that have seen it and the praise for this book, I would be shocked if almost all of our questions aren't answered.
Oh, that's great. That'd be awesome. So that's a week from Monday. Now, that may have led into your saying, this is your excuse, even though you yourself admit this was beneath Brady. He overplayed his hand. He has spiked the football in Bill's face too much this week. He went too far. He was classless.
This was unbecoming of Tom Brady.
Whoa.
And I believe that while he may not have been in control of his dad, and I hate when people say, like, they control, it's clear that after Tom Curran spoke with Tom Sr., that Brady enlisted his guy, Alex Guerrero, mm-hmm. to call Karen, kind of clean up some of that mess.
But he cleaned up nothing. He made it worse.
Right, but he did attempt to clean up. There's a quote in that Herald story with Karen and Alex that Alex Guerrero says, like, our fathers do not speak for 40-year-old sons. I don't know how often they talk about something. It was clearly lost in the shuffle. It didn't do its purposed goal.
Yeah, but the Brady Sr. stuff, you had Wiggy and others saying, oh, it was about the money. Because that line that was in there from Brady Sr. that they wouldn't pay him what he was worth, I think there are a lot of people who are sympathetic to that they should have just paid him more. You know, they should have ponied up and it was about the money.
But it's always about the money.
Well, but it wasn't, not according to Guerrero. But anyway, here's the Brady Sr. piece. You know, Brady was talking to Tommy Curran.
My feeling is that Tommy is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that happened during his New England career, and he's more than happy that he's moved on, because it was pretty obvious that the Patriot regime felt that it was time for him to move on. And frankly, you know, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
Didn't want to afford him. So it sounds like it's about money. But then Guerrero starts talking about slights from the Wickersham book and the Tennessee game. He made him feel bad. So now we're back to player of the week and the parking spots and all this.
Regime
I really believe that maybe Tom wouldn't still be playing because he has this deep belief in TB12, and like we know with placebos, if you think you're getting help, maybe it helps him. But if he never met Alex Guerrero, I don't think there's any of the issue or 90% of the issues that existed in Foxborough.
I agree, and I think you're right. He really brought the personality out of Tom and the individualistic side of Tom out.
And if you really look back on the 20 years roughly that I went through this past week a little bit, listening back to old Tom Brady clips with John, Jerry, and Kirk, the real time that he really got aggressive was only regarding the Boston Magazine story and the commentary on the old Supreme Greens and Guerrero.
Right.
I mean, that,
that's his future.
Right. And so that is entirely where he sits today talking about, you know, that's what's in this book. That's what caused the initial divorce. That's what caused the separation. It is the fact that Bill believed all of this was BS. Bill probably believed that Edelman's PED may have been something related to what they were doing. I don't know. I've never heard him say that, but Bill wants power, right? We all agree on that. He's consolidated power. He is the leader. He is the dictator of the Patriots. And what Alex Guerrero, through Tom Brady, presented was a threat to that power.
What did you think of what Brady Sr. and Guerrero said this week? 617-779-7937. 34-year Patriots coach Dante Scarnecchia joins us at noon. It's Ken and Curtis.
More of the guys. Ken and Curtis. The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Ken and Curtis here on EEI. Dante Scarnecchia at noon. By the way, Monday morning, 6:30 a.m., Bill Belichick on the Greg Hill Morning Show. That will be a tone setter for the week of Brady Week. I'm sure there'll be some interesting questions that Greg and company will get in there, you possibly, about what the week will hold, his thoughts on Tom. He has pushed off, as expected, all questions about Brady until Monday, but Monday's fair game. So here we go.
If you ever doubt who I'm rooting for, I want the best thing for our show and my career, and Monday morning, a win on Sunday would be very, very helpful to the Greg Hill Show Monday morning.
But boy, how devious was Brady? Trying his best to derail and distract the Patriots this week. Pretty good scheme, if you're dastardly like that. Dastardly scheme to get everybody to speak about it this week and try to get the Patriots off their game so they're 1-2 and lose to the Saints.
Is that going to be your storyline on
That's
Monday
my story.
If they
I'm
lose?
To it. Yeah, exactly right. Now, Angry Principal Dave is on the phone. You besmirched him on Friday's show by printing out reams of what you accuse are text messages to the text line.
Yes.
So Dave has been like
maniacally writing into the show. Okay. I feel worried about him. I wonder if he has like a therapist he can see or.
Now, is this true, Dave? Have you been texting frequently?
Yeah, I think I was texting this morning as well. I'm trying to get some points across because it's easier to do it via text. But real quick, I know you got Curtis's best friend Dante coming up. So let me get to a couple quick things. So. All right. I think we all would agree that Brady and Belichick are arguably the best at what they do, correct? And in order to be the best at what you do, you have to have an ego. You have to have that edge. And I think when it's all said and done, if you put both of them in a private room and ask these questions, they both have the utmost respect for each other. This is just all a song and dance type of routine that they're both doing.
You don't believe that, dude. I mean,
absolutely.
Dave.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do believe it.
What?
They're the greatest at what they do, and in order to be that, you have to be an ego.
Dave,
you have to be a narcissist. You have to be all about me.
Disagreeing with that. Nobody. I agree 100% that they both have those similar qualities. They despise one another, Dave.
So you think this is a media creation, Dave?
Yeah, I think it is, and I think, honestly, again, when it's all said and done, years after, you know, they're both done, they have the utmost respect for each other.
After Brady Sr. was asked about it, and he said, damn rights, he feels vindicated. Damn rights.
Yeah, but it's Brady Sr. Oh. It's not Brady Jr. So anyways, let me get to a couple of Curtis's points of earlier, and I'm sorry if some callers have already called you out on this. But here's an example of you just making these takes and having zero. It's just that they don't make sense. So you said earlier, Tampa Bay is a one-trick pony. So do you understand that the Tampa Bay Lightning have won two cups, back-to-back, and you also understand that Tampa's leading the division in the AL East, right?
Did so they're you not send a that one text in? I think I read team. That earlier.
Yeah, you read that one.
Okay, yes, you did. Then the other thing you said.
Do you understand what I mean by one-trick town? I mean like a hick town. Like they're not, they don't know how, they're just kind of a collection of Neanderthals.
Damn right.
All right. Well, then I appreciate your clarification. That's not the way it came across to me, and I'm sure most of the listeners probably thought the way I did.
Don't text and drive.
Second thing, and this one I hope people ripped you on because this was probably one of the most foolish ones I've heard you say. The Patriots did not maximize Tom Brady? What are you talking about?
I mean, they
took a sixth-round draft pick and in 20 years got six titles out of him, and they didn't maximize him? Could you please speak to that one?
Yeah, please don't hang up yet, Dave. It's pretty clear that Tom Brady...
You control whether you hang up. I don't. You control it. Go ahead.
Principals have always hated me. Tom Brady's...
I like you. I don't hate you.
Okay. Bye, Dave.
Oh, hung up on him after you said don't hang up.
He kept saying to talk, and then he would talk at the same time. We are watching right now how the Patriots didn't maximize Tom Brady.
No, he's right about that. That's a stupid thing to say.
What?
What do you expect? Nobody has ever done this. They won six with him. I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Right. And Tom, wherever he goes...
chose to leave.
Right. And he wins... What do you... Wait, hold on. How did... How did they maximize it? If last year he left when you guys said he was last pass was a pick six.
We just talked about how Brady turned into an individualistic guy because of Guerrero. They tried their best to keep him here, but his ego grew too big.
Maximizing means surrounding with talent that maximizes the ability of Tom Brady.
He whined to get Mohamed Sanu. They did. It didn't work. They got Antonio Brown.
What are the Bucs doing with Tom Brady right now?
They're winning.
They're maximizing the greatest player to ever play.
Yeah,
that's
they're
going to
win seven there?
Well, they probably would have won 10 if they had they had this approach.
See, you're just total millennial expectations, like spoiled beyond. You just expect teams to win every year.
So you think in 2006, when Brady got them up 21-3 at the RCA Dome in the AFC Championship against Peyton Manning with Jabbar Gaffney, you think that maybe if they had, instead of Rashay Caldwell, who's sitting in a jail right now, I think, you think if they had another player on offense that could actually catch the ball, they might would have won that game. And then guess who they play? Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl. That seems like not maximizing the talent.
You heard Wiggy say they would have won the first Super Bowl with Bledsoe. So at that point, it didn't really matter.
And you're citing Wiggy.
Let's go. Well, Dante Scarnecchia next. A true expert on all these things inside the walls of Gillette.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.